Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Good Friday. Welcome to all of you around the United States of America. And for those of you listening on the internet around the world, it's a very important day in the Catholic Church, as you well know. Good Friday, I don't really know why it's called Good Friday. It's certainly the day that commemorates the crucifixion and death of Jesus. And it's the fast. It's a fast day in the Catholic Church. It's traditionally a time of fasting and penance. And welcome to the Savage Nation today. I don't know that we have much to say that your priest can't tell you. This has been a week that had an awful lot coming from the pulpit, isn't it? Compare what came from the pulpit of Barack Obama's preacher, What I find interesting about that scandal is that the scandal, apparently, is that anyone even heard it. The scandal is that anyone played Reverend Wright's speech. According to the liberals, the scandal is not in the words themselves of Reverend Wright, nor the fact that Barack Obama is a liar in saying he didn't hear any of it. No, the scandal is that those of us in the media even had the nerve to play any of Reverend Wright's hate speech. That's the amazing part. And so having said that, we can move on if you like, or we can talk about it. What I think I'll do is talk about it, since they want me to move on, and since I'm counter-suggestive, and tend to do what someone tells me not to do when I think it's the right thing to do, I think I'll talk about it a little bit more. Because if you think that Obama is telling you the truth, pardon me, if you think Obama is telling you the truth when he says he didn't hear any of it over 20 years, you're mistaken. Nobody can sit through that for 20 years and not hear some of it. I mean, that's the DNA of Reverend Wright. What you heard is the DNA of Reverend Wright, if nothing else. And that is the tenor of the entire church, according to what I can glean. It's not an anomaly of the church, what Wright said. What you heard is the essence of the church. It is a black supremacist or black separatist church in the sense that it's Afro-Leninist or Afro-Marxist. Now, why does it matter? Why am I harping on this? Because I'm not going to let you be hoodwinked by the liberal media who's trying to tell you you're guilty for having even heard it, that you had no right to hear it, that we in the conservative media had no right to play it. Well, not only do I beg to differ, I have some stronger words than that, which I don't need to use because you can imagine what they are. Picture a longshoreman of the 1950s saying what he thinks about the liberal media today. That's what you'll get out of me. So the other day, the great messiah, Barack Obama, goes on to some, I think, Larry Kink. I've renamed him Larry Kink for obvious reasons. He specializes in that type of thing. He goes on the Larry Kink show, and he says this in clip one.
The point I was making was not that my grandmother harbors any racial animosity. She doesn't. Right. But she is a typical white person who, you know, if she sees somebody on the street that she doesn't know, you know, there's a reaction that's been bred into our experiences that don't go away and that sometimes come out in the wrong way.
Mm-hmm. All right, now he tries to clarify what he means by that his grandmother was a typical white person in clip two.
Well, what I meant really was that some of the fears of street crime and some of the stereotypes that go along with that, you know, were responses that, you know, I think many people feel. She's not extraordinary in that regard. She is somebody who I love as much as anybody. I mean, she's literally helped to raise me. But, you know, those are fears that are embedded in our culture and embedded in our society.
Well, the only way to fix them, Obama, is that if, God forbid, you should become president owing to liberal guilt and complicity in the liberal media, is that you can then investigate thought crimes and you can re-educate all of white America in sort of thought re-education camps and do it in a nice, positive, upbeat way, speaking the way you do, in a matter-of-fact way, that whites are racist. Ipso facto, racism is no good. Ipso facto, racism must be eliminated from American society. Ipso facto, only whites are racist, and therefore whites must be re-educated. And that's it. And then he goes down the line to 05.
I can no more disown him than I can disown the black community. I can no more disown him.
Whoa, wait a minute. Now you're saying all of the black community shares the same hatred for America, the same hatred for whites, that your racist preacher, Reverend so-called Jeremiah Wright, holds? You're now saying the whole black community holds those views? I don't accept that, because I know many black people. I've met many black people who don't hate America. They love America, and they don't necessarily love white people, but they don't walk around hating them. Now, I'm telling you, this Obama lives in a very strange world if he's saying that all of the black community shares the views of Reverend Wright. Go on now.
I can no more disown him than I can disown the black community. I can no more disown him than I can disown my white grandmother, a woman who helped raise me, a woman who sacrificed
Whoa. This man has no judgment. Your white grandmother is genetically tied to you. No, you cannot disown her in that regard. You're tied to her through love and DNA. But when you go into a church where hate speech is disseminated, you certainly can separate yourself from that if you had any dignity, and moreover, if you didn't agree with the hate speech. So look, this truthfully needs to be played right through November. And don't go for what the liberals are saying, that it'll backfire on the conservative movement. The contrary is true. That's why the doofus, John, what's his name? The guy from Arizona. John McCain is doing so well. Doofus. It's like he's doing so well because Obama's imploding as a result of the right controversy. So we'll keep playing it since we still live in a free country. And I don't care what the midstream media says. It doesn't matter to me what the midstream media says or does. It doesn't matter to me what Larry Kink thinks. You know what I think of Larry Kink and the rest of them on CNN, including the hemorrhoid man who opposes as a conservative. I don't have a lot of love lost for anybody in the midstream media, nor Larry Kink himself. To me, they're all part and parcel of the reason the country's in the shape it's in. So having said that, since Good Friday's the Friday that celebrates the crucifixion and the death of Jesus, we can talk about that if you want. I mean, what can I say about that? I don't know what to say about that. I have no idea what to say about that. I'm not a preacher. I know that Sunday, when I was a little boy in Queens, New York, I lived next to a large Catholic church, and I learned certain things that I enjoyed learning. But I liked Palm Sunday as an outsider looking in. I liked Ash Wednesday. I thought it was very solemn. As an outsider looking in, I always thought that the day of resurrection, Sunday, was a better day. This is a very sad day in many ways. But then on the other hand, I mean, looking in from the outside, from the Christian perspective, this is about the sacrificial death of Jesus, according to Christians. And the Christians believe that Jesus died for the sins of mankind. And he offered himself on the cross as a living victim to please God. And his blood became the instrument of atonement for the sins of all men. I mean, that is the meaning of the crucifixion of Jesus. For those of you who don't understand it, not everyone who listens to this show is Christian. And this is the essence of the Christian world today. And so you have to respect the essence of a major world religion like this. And you have to try to understand it, even if you're not part of that religion, in my opinion. You can't turn your back on reality. And if you want to talk about this, fine. I don't know where I want to take the show today. I really don't. I mean, I don't know. I know that we're involved in a war for our survival, both culturally and physically. I know that we have an amazing fight going on in America, that the vermin on the left are winning because we have no leadership representing us in the culture wars that were started by the verminous suicidal left. And I know that on the international playing field, I'm not so sure we're winning against the radical Islamists. I know, for example, that even Thailand, a Buddhist country, is now being has been infected by radical Islam. And in Thailand's Muslim South, people are being killed on a regular basis. Radical Islamists are targeting ordinary people, killing people outside mosques. And so there's tremendous violence now in Thailand, the Buddhist country, which if it's not stopped, Thailand will fall, just as all the other countries that are now Muslim were once subjected to the same kind of thing. You think these countries became Muslim because they wanted to? I keep hearing that the majority of Muslims are peace-loving. That is true, I am sure, but that's irrelevant. What's relevant is the radical minority is not being wiped off the planet. We're sitting here waiting for them to pick us off, nation by nation, community by community, you know. It doesn't take a majority to destroy a nation. It takes a minority to destroy a nation. So we have big problems. I'll take the callers when the minute I return here on the Savage Nation. The phone number is 1-800-449-8255. Of course, you're listening to the greatest show on earth, the Savage Nation. I'll be right back.
Savage.
We are so naive as a nation. Here we have a major article came out today from Rowan Scarborough. CARE trains FBI agents as new report cites their links to terror. An American Muslim group identified as an unindicted co-conspirator in a criminal terrorism case is being used by the FBI to train FBI agents about Islam. It's a major story. It should be all over the media. Instead, we have men filled with flatulence in their brains, like Larry Kink, talking about nonsense, interviewing sluts and degenerates, while the Islamists are encircling us and taking over this country, step by step, day by day, paragraph by paragraph, because they smell the weakness. Great article. It's a 10-part report on CARE that's coming out very soon, led by Stephen Emerson, coming out March 24th. And it tells the story of a group that was formed in the early 1990s to push an agenda of radical Islamists in the Middle East by portraying the war on terror as a war on Islam and by defending those arrested on terror charges. And yet the FBI is deaf, dumb, and blind to these studies. It's unbelievable to me. Now, I know who CARE is. I know who CARE is. CARE has tried to drive me off the radio. Thus far, they haven't succeeded, but they're not finished yet. With a little help from the liberal judge in San Francisco appointed by Bill Clinton, who knows what might happen? Who knows what might happen? So CARE trains FBI agents on Islam, said a May 2007 press release about instructions given to agents in Connecticut. Can you believe this in your own country? Can you believe this? So let's go to the callers. Harris on WOR, welcome to the program.
Hi. It also happens to be, besides Good Friday, it's the Jewish holiday of Purim, where Mordecai and Esther defeated Haman, who wanted to destroy the Jewish people in Persia in about 500 B.C. But what I really wanted to comment on with Obama is that his justification for right being a racist and that we have to accept it because of his life's experience, at the same time, that should allow us to accept any white person who grew up in maybe a bad neighborhood or, for that matter, somebody who had been abused, that they could be a racist. Strom Thurmond's allowed to be a racist because of his life experience as well.
Well, I don't know. I wasn't a supporter of Strom Thurmond's philosophy, but remember, Strom Thurmond was not a pastor. And remember, it's optional. The church or synagogue a person goes to is an option. You can go or you could not go. You know what I'm saying?
100%.
For Obama to choose this man to baptize his daughters and to have donated money to the church is very worrisome. And he should be held to this right through November 7th, in my opinion. I don't want to hear the excuse he doesn't agree with the pastor. That's utter nonsense. That's rubbish. It's rubbish. This pastor is is not different than Louis Farrakhan philosophically. Thank you for the call. As far as Purim goes, I think it's a holiday for children. And I think the Jews who indulge themselves in such a holiday are doing themselves a disservice. What I'll never understand is why the Jewish people would spend so much time talking about the overthrow of King Haman, who was an ancient Persian evil king, albeit an evil king he was. Why talk about it when you have a Persian king right now who wants to kill you? The Persian king today is Ahmanajad. What are you looking back and dancing around like a drunken fool, I would say, and eating those pointy pastries now, instead of motivating your government to take out Ahmanajad while you still can? That's one man's opinion. See, I have a interesting context for everything, including Purim. I don't get too excited. I'm not 6 years old wearing a costume. So I don't know. What's the big celebration? King Haman was overthrown. Great. I'm glad. And now what? Long live King Haman? He's there in Iran now? And what are you doing about it? Getting drunk with vodka and eating bad pastries? That's your idea of standing up to the King Haman of Ahmanajad right now instead of encouraging George Bush to do what he needs to do? Cheney wants to do it. He just doesn't have the support of the government yet because the vermin in the media, like Larry Kink, think it's a bad thing to do it. So you want to bring up Purim? Bring up Purim. I'll answer it. Now I'll probably lose my Jewish listeners now because I forgot I didn't like Purim. I'll get a protest now. Purimites against Savage. Look, this is what talk radio is. It's opinionated. And if you have an opinion that's based upon fact, that's even worse yet. It's better that you should be a person who doesn't even know what you're talking about. So can you play some music for me? I don't know if this is getting better or worse. It seems like it's getting better. I don't know. The antibiotic, that's what I want to hear. I'm warming up today. I may do a whole 3 hours out of spite. Everyone says don't work for a month. Turn it off already. All right, I made the point. I'm starting to I hope I can live as long as, like, to be able to, like Mark Twain, to say I get, when people say, why don't you exercise? And he said, I get my exercise by going to the funerals of by walking to the funerals of my more athletic friends. I actually feel better not exercising this week.
Savage.
Loving people throughout the world do not speak out against China's oppression in China and Tibet. We have lost all moral authority to speak on behalf of human rights anywhere in the world.
That's Nancy Pelosi taking time out from contract bidding to speak out about human rights oppression in Tibet. I'm not really into the whole Tibet thing. You know, they write it off already. They lost a couple of hundred years ago. It's over. What are you going to go to war now with China over Tibet? The Dalai Lama is a troublemaker. There's no question about it. I mean, he means well, but what's his power? He has moral authority? Great. Since when has moral authority had any effect in this world? It reminds me of Mahatma Gandhi. Okay, moral authority. And a do-gooder. Gandhi was a do-gooder, no question about it. As a result of his do-gooderism, Gandhi, he caused the creation of the country called Pakistan. That's a real gift to the world. And during the separation between Muslims and Hindus, 1 million people killed each other in 1948, if I remember my history correctly. That's a result of do-gooders. You know, you got to watch out for the do-gooders. They're the ones that get us in trouble every time. I mean, they may mean well, but you don't have to take them seriously. I'm afraid there could be 1 million people killed in Tibet if this goes on. So what do you want me to say? I would like to see more violence? No. But what are you going to do? The Chinese are an authoritarian communist nation. This really puts the left in a quandary, doesn't it? They can't say anything bad about their friends in China right now. On the other hand, they got to pretend they care about human rights with Tibet. I love the libs who drive around with bumper stickers, free Tibet. What does that mean? What do you mean free Tibet? What does that mean? They don't even know what they're talking about. So, you know, I feel like talking for 3 hours. I think I'm going to do it. I have the opportunity and the privilege, I'm going to do it. So what I'm going to do is read you from the source, since it's Good Friday. I'm going to go back to the ancestors of the Christians, the Jewish Bible. And That's what a nun said to me coming out of the hospital. The Jews are our ancestors. Like that within 10 seconds. I know she was an angel of some kind. And let's go to the ancestral book of Christianity called the Old Testament to the Christians, but called the Holy Scriptures of the Torah to the Jewish people, the five books of Moses. You know, most Jews who are not religious don't even know what the five books of Moses are. They have no idea what it is. They're so uneducated, it's frightening. I don't know. I just don't know how these things happen. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. I'm no expert on it. Read the stuff. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, you know, from there on. And so you get to one of the prophets named Isaiah. And in some ways, I liked him because he was unhappy and miserable about the world at that time. And he didn't like the hypocrisy of the ancient Israelites. He really detested it. So he went around because there was no talk radio in those days. There were no advertisers. He had no microphone. He marched around in a pair of sandals and a robe, probably. And he walked around and occasionally gave a speech somewhere. People threw him money, whatever. And he said interesting stuff. And some people liked it. So he said things like, "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that change darkness into light and light into darkness, that change bitter into sweet and sweet into bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight." You know, I mean, this is pretty good stuff. So, well, hey, that's pretty good. Throw him a shekel and let's go on to the house of beer. Throw him a shekel, and we come out, you know, if we're guilty, give him another two shekels. They came and had a good night in the house of ill repute, drinking their beer, whatever they did in the house of ill repute. And then they come out, there's Isaiah standing there still, and now they're really guilty, the ancient Israelites. No, let's go see him. Of course, they weren't called Hymie and Milty names. I'm doing it to get your attention. And so then here's Isaiah now standing there in the alleyway as they come out of the house of ill repute, and he's saying this now. "Come on, guys, let's listen to him. He's just an old man. He's not going to hurt you. Come on." So there's always one guy in the crowd who had a conscience. So Isaiah is heard to say the following. He says, "The show of their countenance doth witness against them. And they declare their sin as Sodom. They hide it not. Oh, unto their soul, woe unto their soul, for they have wrought evil unto themselves. Come on, Milt, let's get out of here. Say ye of the righteous that it shall be well with him, for they shall eat the fruit of their doings. Woe unto the wicked. Come on, I'm going, Milt. You could stay here if you want. It shall be ill with him, for the work of his hand shall be done to him." I'm leaving now. I'm telling you, I'm not staying around for this crackpot. "As for my people, a babe is their master, and women rule over them. Oh, my people, that they lead thee, cause thee to err, and destroy the way of thy paths." So that's how it worked. They threw him then. So the good one in the crowd threw him another couple of shekels. Then he went home. He was really guilty for what he had done in the house of ill repute. He felt bad looking at his wife and children. He knew he was no good. And then eventually he stopped going with his, you know, wayward friends and started to go back to Isaiah. And before long, Isaiah became a big prophet in the old days. Now, here's a nice one for you liberals that I found. I don't know how I can dig this up. Only I could find this in Isaiah 32, chapter 32, paragraph 5, clause 5, if you want to make it legalistic. And here's what Isaiah said. He said, "I'm not making up one word. I'm not changing one word. The vile person shall be no more called liberal, nor the churl said to be noble," C-H-U-R-L. Why would he say the vile person shall be no more called liberal? And he says, "For the vile person will speak villainy, and his heart will work iniquity, to practice ungodliness and to utter wickedness against the Lord, to make empty the soul of the hungry and to cause the drink of the thirsty to fail. The instruments also of the churl are evil. He deviseth wicked devices." Oh, wow, what a line that is. "To destroy the poor with lying words, and the needy when he speaketh right. But the liberal deviseth liberal things, and by liberal things shall he stand." I'll let you think about that. Open up the old Bible there that used to be in every hotel in America. Isn't it amazing how we've gone from the Gideon Bible to internet porn in every hotel room in America? How we've gone from the traveling salesman reaching for a Gideon Bible in the middle of the night in a hotel room, and now all he's got to do is put it on a fake credit card and he could watch the most vile images ever seen in humankind, in the history of humanity, in a hotel room. Then he has to go home to his wife and children, and they wonder why there's a divorce rate and people are insane and sitting watching internet pornography. Pornography is the root of all evil. You know, but it's no longer run by the guy, you know, at Harry's House of Rubber off Highway 683. It's not Harry's House of Rubber anymore. The big cable providers are the pornographers of today. But what am I talking about? And I was like, who's going to listen to me? First of all, I don't exist. A, I don't exist. And B, no one listens to me anymore. What's the difference? Jeremiah is good. I'm in a religious mood. What do you want me to do? Like jokes? You want ha-ha jokes? You want me to put people down like Larry Kink? That I could do that. Here's Psalms. They return at evening, they howl like a dog and go round about the city. Behold, they belch out with their mouth. Swords are in their lips. For who doth hear? But thou, O Lord, shall laugh at them. Thou shalt have all the nations in derision. Because of his strength, I will wait for thee, for God is my high tower. This is so beautiful. They return at evening, they howl like a dog and go round about the city. They wander up and down to devour. Woo. This is... See, things really haven't changed. Man always had the instincts to be a dog, and he always had to overcome the lower instincts in himself. Do you understand that? That in every generation we're faced with the exact same problems that previous generations have faced, that fundamentally, look, biologically, we're no different than the Neolithic man. We have the same bodies. Genetically, we haven't changed much in millennia. Okay, we're the same as the Neolithic man. That's the interesting part. You're no different than the Neolithic man, which is why, interestingly enough, why cage fighting is becoming a big thing again. It's because we've lost interest in everything else. We all know it's fraudulent and modernistic and corporate. So guys want to just rip their clothes off and try to kill each other. You know, the guys who can fight, not everybody could do that. I couldn't do it, but there are guys who love it. They love, like, bashing the other guy's head in and getting bashed in. I'm amazed that I watch this stuff. Cheetah, lion, tiger, mountain lion, jaguar, bobcat, wolves, jackals, brown bears, black bear, and polar bear. These animals have characteristics in common with man. Horses, zebras, mules, cattle, horses, deer, elk, moose, water buffalo, cape buffalo, American bison, and rabbits also have characteristics in common. Now, what's the difference between those two groups of animals? Well, it's interesting. One group are predators primarily, and the other group is prey. Question is America a nation of people who have become prey with only a few predators left in the police departments and in the military, and the rest of us are simply here sheep waiting to be shorn? I mean, man is fundamentally a predator. You only have to touch your canine teeth, no matter how mild you may think you are. No matter how weak you may think you are, when stressed, you'll find out who you really are. Let somebody come break into your house and you'll see if you're still a prey or a predator. I love that ad on TV at night. The ads are fun. They're a Rorschach of American society. They always show the stupid people. I mean, like the weak white man, the weak black man. They always, it's so bad, the kind of like role model. Where do they get these actors from? The stupider and weaker they can find. They, you know, like, oh, honey, I have a migraine. What should I do? And the wife's always saving them in every ad. The man is nothing. He's a factotum. He's always weak. He's supposed to show his weakness. And the woman's always supposed to be strong. Who writes this garbage? One ad shows a burglar breaking into the front door of a house. I think it's for a burglar alarm company. And naturally, he's a white man, of course. You understand why. And he breaks in. He even has a black mask on, I think. They even give a mask. Breaks the door in. And the husband, the schmuck, comes, honey, what's that? He gets up and goes to the top of the steps and looks down. And he sees the burglar through the front door. What does he do? Honey, someone broke in. He gets a telephone. Hello, ADT, we have a break-in. And the guy on the other line is already, don't you worry, sir. Help is on the way. By the time help was on the way, the house would be slashed up. The wife would be raped. Everything would be ransacked, and the house would be burnt to the ground by the time the police could get there, if it was even 6 minutes later. The answer would be for the husband to come out with a shotgun loaded under his bed. And not even think if the man broke the door and kill him. That's it. What are they telling him to call a number for with a guy with a telephone? The man comes through your door, you kill him. You don't ask him what he's doing there. He's not going to answer you why I'm here. He'll dash up the steps and rip your throat out like the predator he is. That's the training this country should be getting. What's the difference? Why am I reading? Why am I bothering? I'm reaching a strange point. I don't think I should... Why am I reading any of this? Who am I talking to out there? Is anybody listening to me out there, or am I thinking again? You know, if I turn on the TV, maybe I'm crazy, because all I saw on CNN, Fox, MSNBC, stupid, a whole morning was Obama's passport, Obama's passport, Obama's passport. He was already a victim, already trying to wipe right off the passport. Obama's passport today. State Department apologized. Passport, Obama, like it was a big deal. Oh, the whole world should come to a stop. I'd like to find out what they looked at about me, but I won't even ask, because they ain't going to find anything that's worth looking at. Oh, you're shocked that a governmental, you know, official looked into somebody's records? That's the first time it ever happened. They did it to Hillary and McCain, too. You know, big deal. So what? So it shouldn't have happened. I don't want the government looking in. What is the government? The government are people. Some of them are idiots. They should be fired. Do you want me to continue talking about religion? Do you want me to talk about warfare? The only thing I really don't want to talk about today is colds or anything like having a cold or drugs, medication, weakness. I want to talk about strength. I watched the cage fight last night. I'm watching too much TV now that I'm sick. In a way, I like it because it's like being a kid again. It's like when you stay in bed. It's like a justification for being an imbecile. You don't have to justify why you're only in bed watching television. You can do it. You can revert. I'm eating sugary foods, which I never eat. I haven't eaten them since I'm a kid. I never eat it. And now I'm eating like chocolate, all the garbage I shouldn't be eating. It gives me energy right now. I need it. Figure for now I need the sugar. I'm going to use the sugar. Please don't. I wrote the book on health. Don't call me up and tell me to take a coffee enema. Please. I don't want to hear it. Please don't tell me to take a coffee enema. I won't do it. Or to take silver and put it in my butt. I don't want to hear any of those things. For God's sakes. The things people tell you. And so to make a long story short, I'm watching all night long. There's good television. I saw a good movie. I had no idea Babel was so good with Brad Pitt. He happens to be a fabulous actor. I like him going all the way back to The Legend of the Fall. I actually thought that was one of the most stunning movies I had ever seen, The Legend of the Fall. When Brad Pitt, he was so amazing. Remember that, like, Western family with the three sons, and then World War One breaks out and they go to war in World War One. It was so good. It puts chills up my spine. But when Brad Pitt played the kid who the young man whose brother gets killed by the Germans, and he goes crazy and he jumps on a horse, because remember, he's a Westerner, and he goes charging to the German lines with a sword and a gun, shooting them. They never saw anything like it. I thought that was so stirring. Now that's called inspirational for a young man. Not showing a guy walking with his friend Bobby into a bedroom. You know, queer eye for the straight guy, weakening a nation every day with poison. You know, if that's the way you're oriented, I'm sorry for you, but please don't inflict it on the rest of us. And don't tell me it's the same as your grandmother and grandfather. If you don't mind, it isn't. That's all. Do what you got to do, but stop selling it. That's what I'd like to say. But since no one's listening, there's no point in saying it anymore. I may as well be alone in a room with the switch cut off. Like in communist Soviet Union, where if they didn't like what you said, they cut you off. You ever even read Leviticus? It's pretty good. You can read the whole thing and take it literally, you know, with the killing of a son, because it's really crazy. That's one thing. You can't be a biblical absolutist, because then you wind up a radical Islamist. If you're a biblical absolutist, you may as well put on the burqa and go over to a valley in Pakistan, where they kill everybody. The woman looked this way, she cut off her hand. If on the one hand the woman looked that way and touched the other one's skirt bottom whilst the moon was rising and then falling, that is lewd, therefore you shall cut off her wrist. You can't do that. But you can understand why the rules were out there. The nakedness of thy father's wife shalt thou not uncover. Why? Because it's your mother, you moron. That's why it said that in Leviticus. What do you think? The nakedness of thy father's wife shalt thou not uncover. Why? Because it's your mother. Well, it may not have been in the old days, come to think of it. I mean, they married everything they could get their hands on. Wait a minute. Let me think about it. I'll be right back. Savage. Welcome back to the Savage Nation. So Glenda in Green Bay wants Rock and Roll Friday. Play the Duke of Earl for her. Get it. Give her a Duke, little rock and roll.
Duke of Earl.
Got the car wash today. It was my big Duke before the show. I go through a car wash. It's a whole life experience. Something in everything. You know that? God, the 50s were beautiful. What happened to my country? Turn the clock back already. Wish the world was 1959 forever, like the Finns. The world was a much better place. Bring up now civil rights again. Everything after reference to civil. All right, with civil rights, okay? Now can I have my reverie, you leftist. Men wore hats, women wore gloves. Every young girl wants to get married and have children. I don't have to tell you what they want now, what's on their wish list for Santa. Santa himself would have a heart attack if he knew it was on the wish list. Turn it off. You know, they can't do two things. They can't multitask. I can multitask. The listener cannot. It's impossible. It is Rock and Roll Friday. I'm running late already, but that means I'm going to work late, right through the end. I don't care how bad my energy is. It's actually very good. It must be the sugar. So I'll crash after the show. So I went to the car wash today before work. I had a lot of hours. I start late in the day. It's like a whole day to myself. I didn't do any show prep because there's nothing to prepare. I mean, I have so many things to talk about. Why prepare? Ooh, you didn't prepare. Ooh. What I do in ordinary show, people don't do in 5 years. The density. It's like a Persian miniature. So I go to the car wash with the dog in the car. It's really a kick to watch a dog's face in a car wash. Like, the, you know, imagine the noises and, like, the machines. Like, you know, they hear Amigo and then $5. The whole thing and the noise. I'm a very, very big tipper in the car. I feel bad for those guys. I'm one of the few people who actually feels bad for them. I talk to them. I ask them where they're from. But they did a nice job. They did a nice job. The wheels are black. The pollen's off the car.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
It is Rock and Roll Friday on the Savage Nation. What a show, man. I go from like Mozart's Requiem to the Duke of Earl. I love this song. It brings back so many memories. Springtime, tight pants, like a 28 waist. I was thinking about that last night when you're younger, what shape you're in. You don't even have to try. You get older, no matter what you do, it's like a heartless task. Time and gravity, man, it catches up with all of us. We didn't need Obama to lecture us on race. We just went to Harlem to a rock and roll show. No one stabbed each other or shot each other, black and white. How come that was no stabbing in the 50s? We went to Harlem. We were white kids. We went into the, I forget the theater in Harlem, the Apollo Theater, for Alan Freed's rock and roll show. We rode the subway there. No one stabbed or shot. We went crazy for the music. Then along came the 60s liberals, and they turned race against each other. The race hustlers. And here they are again, still being lectured by Barack Obama now about how to get along. Get off my back already with your double talk, you self-serving phony, you. tell me how to get along with people. I needed the government to lecture me on how to get along with racists now all of a sudden. You know, turn that off already. Let's have another rock and roll, like At the Hop by Danny and the Juniors. Then I'll get into Violence in Tibet. Violence in Tibet now. That's Nancy Pelosi's problem. Look ahead up from the book, from the accounting book, how much came in. We'll talk about Tibet. All right, bring him in. Bring in the Dalai Lama. What was it? His little jerk. Oh, the Dalai Lama, sure. Oh, yeah, hello, sir. Hello, sacred. Who is this guy? Dalai Lama. A troublemaker he is. He always has been. Going around like a saffron rose looking for blondes.
Let's go to the hop. Let's go to the hop. Oh, baby. Let's go to the hop. Oh, baby.
No, turn it. You know what I'm thinking about is Condoleezza Rice. Like, everything came out last week. Sex stuff. Governor Spitzer, hooker, that didn't stop. Governor Patterson now, I told you, wow, what's going to be in store for you with that one? Everyone knows everyone's business. The Governor McGreevy, the wife now had a three-way with the chauffeur. It's unbelievable. I mean, the stuff you don't even want to know, you're knowing about. The only person who you know nothing about her personal, intimate life is Condoleezza Rice. Does she date anybody? How could a woman be so, like, invisible in that, or that she never goes out to a hotel with anybody in Washington? Oh, no, we don't talk about it. It's like a gym teacher. You know, he's like, he's on a trampoline, playing the piano, swimming, flying off to Syria. Doesn't she date anybody in the Mayflower Hotel? I mean, legitimately, she's a single woman. She's a good-looking woman. Who in the world does Condoleezza Rice date? Condoleezza Rice tells reporters that she has apologized to Barack Obama for an incident which State Department contractors unnecessarily reviewed his passport file. What a crime. Wow. Ooh, that's bad. Look at the passport file. What I'd like to know is what they found. Nothing. They looked at Hillary's passport also, and then they looked at McCain's passport file. They look at that picture. Why do they have to bother us with Tibet now? Chinese, there could be a million people killed because of this troublemaker, the Dalai Lama, the maniac. Leave the Chinese alone, man. It's going to end bad. It's like I like to tell them, hey, look, Johnson, come on over here. Let me tell you something. You're dealing with authoritarian. They're communists, number one. They're killers, number two. They don't care about you in the world. They don't care about world opinion, Dalai. What's your real name anyway? What do you mean, Dalai Lama? So why is he a holy man? Who is this guy? Every time he passes, he like comes around to Marin County, and the liberals almost die to get in the room with him. The liberals like ran out of churches and synagogues. Him already, they're throwing themselves on the ground to touch the guy's robe, have a beer with him in Stinson Beach. I've nothing against him, but why is he provoking China? You see the faces on liberals when like they think a holy man is in the room or somebody they think they're supposed to cater to. They get that, like, certain grin on. Oh, look at him. He's different than you. You ever see him at night in the morning alone after a bender? Can you imagine what he must look like? Oh, I feel terrible, man. That beer was horrible over there. And that looks, and you have a meeting a little couple hours from now, Dolly, with this Nancy Pelosi. Oh, man, I don't want to do that. That was a bad night. They're like you. They're human beings. Stop deifying everybody. Oh, God. Look at all this news. It's so non-newsy. There's no news out there. Oh, Bill Richardson endorses Obama. There's three votes right there from New Mexico. He's a tremendous powerhouse, Bill Richardson. Just ask Larry Kink. According to Larry Kink, that's a major league endorsement. Oh, that's a shocker. Well, I think I'll throw all my votes your way, Obama. Oh, wow. That should sway the election right there. Woo. Bill Richardson. Woo. Woo. That's huge. Hey, major league endorsement. What a country we live in. All morning, the passport thing. I turn the channels off. They're getting stupider by the minute. All morning long, they're talking about passports. So I got fed up. I did no show prep, as I said earlier. I couldn't take it. There was no news other than passports. And the passport, and everyone apologized. Passport. So I got in the car. I've been meaning to wash it. I try to wash it very little because I know it's bad for it. But then on the other, you like balance it out in your head if you have a new car, how much to wash it as opposed to how much dirt to allow to collect on it, knowing that each time you wash it, there's like micro scratches from, not from the brush, it's like brushless, but they use old rags. So, you know, like they could just did it like the underneath of a truck muffler. Now it's on your hood, the rag. You can't get too fanatic. You know what I mean? The car will be around after you're dead anyway. Probably traded somewhere in Uruguay with like three wheels. So I went to the car wash, Teddy. I have to talk to him. He gets scared a couple of times in the car wash. He's like, ooh, God, man. What is this, Dad? This is so bad. Why is there so much noise and beeping and water? And now he's calm two, three times. He's a smart dog. I said, Teddy, we're going to go to the car wash. Just relax. Look at the nice water. You got to talk to him like a child. I raise children. I know how to talk to a dog. I'm like, okay, the water now, man. Washing the car like I wash you. I guess the tone of the voice. Although I would think that his vocabulary, the amount of words he actually knows, is probably higher than that of the average progressive. I would say my dog has a larger vocabulary than the average progressive, by what I can see out there. They like to know about 50 words, fascist, racist, homophobe, change, 50 words they know. Nazi, me good, you bad. But he knows some words, you know. No, I already got a caller now. I'm too hard on Dalai Lama now already. Please leave me alone. I didn't mean anything. Okay, protest me now. The Tibetan American Monk Society is going to drop ads now. I have nothing against Tibetans. I like Buddhist people. But you're fighting a dead battle here. Why provoke the Chinese is my point. They're not letting go of Tibet. It's a done deal. It's over. They're on the road to taking over Taiwan. They consider it a renegade province. They remember that now, still going back to like the 40s. They want it back. They want Formosa back. They want everything. Then next San Francisco, they'll say it's in a renegade province eventually, if not the whole country. They don't care about Tibet. What do you think? They feel you're going to invade? You're going to send the 101st Airborne to take back Tibet for the Tibetans? It's not going to happen. And there is no world opinion. It's worthless. What do they care about world opinion? The Palestinians murdered six Jewish children in a seminary 2 weeks ago. No one gives a rat's behind. And then they do a poll of Palestinians, hey, like 70% approve of killing unarmed Jewish religious students. Go make peace with people like that. You know what you'll have? What you have now in spades. Idiots, morons, leadership. Yeah, right. Is it any wonder people have given up on the political system? So I could read Leviticus. Bring your share, you're not doing that. You shall not walk in thy statutes. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy brother's wife. Well, that makes sense. Would you want to uncover the nakedness of thy brother's wife? You get killed for doing that. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of a woman and a daughter. Thou shalt not take her son's daughter, you see, or her daughter's daughter to uncover. And nakedness, they are near kinswomen. It is lewdness. See the word lewdness. When have you last heard the word lewd? Nothing. You turn on HBO, they don't even know what the word lewd, slut, doesn't mean anything. HBO. To them, a prostitute is a queen on HBO. Nude, slut, lewd. They never heard of the word. And thou shalt not lie carnally with thy neighbor's wife to defile thyself with her. Those were good rules. Why was that a good rule? There'd be a lot less murder if you followed some of these rules. Now, thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. We will not mention that because that's considered normal here in America today. No politician would consider that wrong in any way. Next one is 23. You shall not lie with any beast to defile thyself. That's still considered bad, at least in places outside of Washington State and San Francisco, not lying with a beast. Neither shall any woman lie stand before a beast to lie down there to it is perversion. So there's a word perversion. It's in the Bible. Read it. I didn't make it up. Now, why did God say that? Listen to what it says next in Leviticus. Defile not yourself in any of these things, for in all these the nations are defiled, which I cast out from before you. And the land was defiled, therefore I did visit the iniquity thereof upon it, and the land vomited out of her inhabitants. And meaning the land was punished for practicing things of this nature. When you start behaving like a beast, lower than an animal, and rutting with every creature that walketh the earth, without regard to its relationships, or it's your relationship to the person, or the being, or the sexuality of the being, the country itself becomes defiled, and then God reacts. At least that's what religious people believe. You're not going to deny the religious viewpoint. You can deny it all you want, but they're not going to stop believing it. I don't care what the liberal media says. people who are religious still believe that, even though people who are nominally religious still believe this, incidentally. Whether they're very religious or not, they know it's wrong. No matter what brainwashing comes out of CNN and HBO and, you know, and Larry Kink. Thou shalt not make your souls detestable by beast or by fowl. What do you think he's talking about here? Thou shalt not walk in the customs of the nation. Read it. Read it. Make your own. Make up your own mind here. Read Leviticus. It's pretty harsh stuff. Clean, unclean. They're pretty into this whole thing in the ancient Israelites. In between the olives and the olive growing, that time for all of this. They grew the olives, then they sat down. They said, all right, the guy has white on his, this white outcry. What is it? They were like good. They were like all into being doctors, the ancient Israelites. That, if you look at it, it's always like everyone doctoring each other. Like looking at them. Look what this came out of. It's not leprosy. Maybe it is. Maybe it isn't. If it's this, it's not leprosy. If it's that, it might be leprosy. Now let's go look at it again. And the white spot is not really fresh, bright spot, even white spots and white spots. The bright spots in the skin and the flesh become a dull white as a tenor. It has broken out in the skin. He is clean. But if a man's hair be fallen off his head, he is bald, yet he is clean. And if his hair be fallen off from the front part of his head, he is forehead bald, yet he is clean. But if there be in the bald head or the bald forehead a reddish-white plague, it is leprosy breaking out in his bald head or his bald forehead, then the priest shall look upon him, and behold, if the rising of the plague be reddish-white in his bald head or in his bald forehead, as the appearance of leprosy in the skin of the flesh, he is a leprous man, he is unclean, the priest shall surely pronounce him unclean, his plague is in his head. Now, why would the ancients have concerned themselves with this? A, because they wanted to survive. They didn't want a leper amongst them. You understand that? And just as they did not want the leper amongst them to infect them morally, physically, they did not want the pervert amongst them to infect them morally, my friends. I'll be right back.
Savage.
All right, so it's Good Friday. We talked about that. I read from the Bible. For those of you who didn't go to church and needed a little, you know, sense that you did, you got it out of my show instead. You got like a double, you got a double duty here. We played Obama's racist preacher. We did that checklist. We talked about predators and prey. And I talked about the car wash with the dog. What? Oh, I meant to tell it. So the other night, I went to North Beach. The night before I started taking the medication, I told them I wasn't feeling good. It was my friend Lorenzo in the North Beach restaurant. Right, crowded, packed, great restaurant, good guy. He says, I make you a garlic soup. He goes in the back, and he comes out with like a white foaming broth. It was so big, and it was all garlic soup. I said, oh, my God. And he knows I love garlic. I ask for it in every meal on the side. But it was a garlic soup. I could only eat a half of it. Then when he wasn't looking, I tried to put water in it. It was so hot. He comes running around like, what are you doing? Hey, come on, I'm not going to burn my mouth. So I ate half a bowl. He says, you have to finish the whole bowl. I said, I'm not finishing the whole bowl. I couldn't do it. So I went home, and I got to tell you something. Well, I got to do it in a polite manner. Well, let's end it right there. But it didn't cure me. I mean, I live on garlic. When you think about it, the sulfurous bulb, you know, they call it the stinking rose, the sulfur in the garlic, as you well know, is antibacterial. But when you think about it, it's like sending like sulfur down your intestines. It's got to be good for you. It's got to kill all of the, it's got to slay all of the bad bacteria. It's probably killed some of the good bacteria along the way as well, I'll be honest. How does it know if the acidophilus bacteria are good? The garlic's going to knock them all out. It's like putting raid in your guts. You can overdo certain things too. You know, you talk about the golden mean. You want to go back to a philosophy of the Buddhists, the golden mean, the middle way. It's a man. You've got to have a balance point here. You can overdo garlic also, by the way, like anything else. I don't want to tell you. Even the dog had to run out of the room. He couldn't take it. I wanted to run out of the room. I couldn't. I never had anything like this. I'll never. I mean, a whole soup. And it was frothy white. I said, is there cream in this? I won't eat it. No. How'd you make it white? I don't know. It was really good, though. I enjoyed the taste of it. You know, people always give you like remedies when you're not feeling good. I don't want to hear it. They haven't got remedies. I wrote 25 books on the subject. I know all the remedies. Sometimes you get sick anyway. But thank you. I enjoyed the meal. I'll be right back.
Savage.
That's what my bowels sounded like after that garlic meal, that garlic soup. Inside the Savage and Other Stories, I had a rowboat. I could go through my my guts would be like that. Oh man, scary. Inside the Savage and Other Stories. That's a literary reference to Inside the Whale and Other Essays by George Orwell. It's Buddhist chanting for those of you who don't know what it is. Bill Haywood, Bill Haywood, 66, associate producer of Easy Rider, apparently killed himself in a trailer where he was living, authorities say. Easy Rider associate producer Bill Haywood, part of a regal Hollywood family. That's an oxymoron. Whose talent and beauty was often overshadowed by his demons, died of a self-inflicted gunshot wound. Authorities said today, yes, he was 66. Suicide occurred in a trailer, living, been cremated. He was a wonderful man, and this is a great tragedy for our family, said Easy Rider director and star Dennis Hopper. Hopper was married and had a daughter with Haywood's sister, Brooke, in the 60s. Dennis Hopper. I always liked him as an actor, and now he's doing, like, false teeth commercials everywhere I turn. The next is going to take over for Martha Ray. This is Dennis Hopper. I used to be an Easy Rider. Now my teeth are in a glass, and I got to tell you, I never found anything as good for cleaning teeth as this. Don't they know when to stop? Don't they have enough money? You know, I'm thinking about people like who get out of the business they're in when they could still be doing it. Don't you? There's like people who, well, the famous one is Johnny Carson, right? Or Jack Parr. Who was the one who went on, lived another 20 years, but stopped? Was it Jack Parr or Johnny Carson? Carson, right? He was seen getting fatter by the day. He didn't care. He had more money than God, and he just walked around stuffing his gourd. And that was enough already. He didn't have to go and do ha-ha for the next till he dropped dead of a heart attack. I'm thinking of actresses now who were gorgeous, drop-dead gorgeous, who you don't see anymore. Why? They were smart enough to get off the stage while they were still beautiful. They didn't try to, like, bring on... Like Diane Keaton, for example. She was never gorgeous, but she was attractive. She don't know when to quit. So now she's like playing into the menopausal roles. All right, so she's still playing. That's her business. I'm giving an example. But there were other actresses, I'm trying to think, who were so gorgeous, you don't see them anymore. You don't know where they are, what they're doing. They're like hiding. They're wearing, you know, like nun's outfits. But you get older, that's all. They got enough money. They had their time in the Klieg lights, and it's over. They don't have to go to the opening and... Think of that. What actresses are you thinking of? Like, it was so gorgeous where they are today. You often wonder. Like, I like to watch 80s movies lately, if I can get one, because they were still shot in film rather than in videotape. There's a certain something about film as opposed to videotape, and the directors did a little kind of different kind of work. But you think of some of the beautiful women of the 80s. Plus, those outfits were really, they were sexy outfits of the 80s. I don't know what it was, like leg warmers, like if you see them passing on the screen, you're like reminded of the whole thing. Boots, no, like the 70s. Jane Fonda. These boots were made for walk. She's another one. If she only stopped, forget politics, Jane. Move to Paraguay. Move to the 75 million acre ranch you have there and ride a horse. Please don't come out with anti-war anymore. We're not interested in you. You had your time and you're gone. Who are some of the actresses that you think of once in a while that are not around anymore? You don't want to see them even. You just want to remember them and their beauty. Like, I'm thinking, like, who was that tall one? It was a real, like, tall, gorgeous, like Simon and Schuster. What was her name? She was a singer, Carly Simon. Where is she today? She was sexy with the boots. She's gone. Because why? She woke up one day and said, oh, my God. That's it. It's enough already. That's it. So they go to Aspen with friends and have dinners. I don't know what. How do you face the world when you were famous and then you're not famous? You can't be famous anymore. The world doesn't cater to you anymore, except like people you hire. See, that's the good thing about being unknown when you're young and having nothing. You get used to it. You can live with it whether you have it or not. That's the beauty of it. There's a strength in poverty. There's also a strength in anonymity. I got to tell you that. Then when you have it and you don't have it, it doesn't really matter. You can go back to not having it. But if you have it when you're young, oh, my God. How are you going to do without it? You know? But I'm thinking, here's a caller. I got a live one. I got a live one on the line here. It's like a slow day. I mean, the lines are jammed, but it's a slow day. I can feel it. I can sense it in the callers. Because it is Good Friday. People get into like a holy thing. They like eat sponge cake and their various friends, like Easter cookies. I don't know what they do. Fast. They don't know whether to fast anymore. No one knows what to do. I said I'd do a full 3 hours, even though doctors said don't work for a month. I'm sticking it out. I'm doing the whole thing, the whole thing, right to the end. Either I want to exhaust myself and die, or I want to like work through it, because I'm enjoying it. I am enjoying this. There's some news out there that's worth talking about. Plus, I am enjoying myself. I'm catching up. I'm making up for lost time this week, like observing. I'm doing like social and political commentary at the same time, dipping in the Bible, joking a little bit, doing the chanting, making believe it's inside the bowel. I mean, you know, come on. You know you're enjoying it. I know what people enjoy. Trust me. I feel so good right now. I'm getting like manic. I feel a manic phase approaching. So I better watch out because I get manicky. It's dangerous. I'm feeling so good that I don't know whether to trust it or not, because I'm starting to feel I should do a public appearance again. That's always dangerous. I haven't done one in 4 years. I had 7,000 people paying a lot of money. I did like a live concert. I could do the whole thing. I could do the live performance thing. I'm good at it. It takes a lot out of you. I don't know how people do it day and night. The ones who do TV and radio, they're not going to last as long as I am. I guarantee you they'll be dead. They can't do it. It's impossible. They're in their 40s. You wait and see what they look like when they hit 60. Either they have a blowout and they're dead, or they can't do it. It's impossible. First of all, their radio sucks because you can't do both well. It's impossible. You either do one or the other. You can't do both. Nobody can. Nobody on earth could do it. But anyway, forget it. I don't care about the others. I care about me. So I'm thinking like, I'm so manic. I want to do the live performance again, because I do enjoy the live crowd. There's something about it that's overwhelming. And you don't forget it, the power of the people coming into your heart. It's very stressful. I think the part I like best about it is like the half an hour before I go on in the dressing room with the deli tray. There's something about it. It's so like there's trays of deli where you had a few people in and then you're alone. You and the lights. You're collecting yourself, getting ready to go out there, and you're wondering what you're going to do, really. I don't go on a script, generally. And I could do 5 hours live on a stage with a sketch, an outline, an idea. I don't have, like, lines that I'm going to read off a teleprompter. I don't stumble. I don't go, hey, who? It's the one thing my mother, God bless her soul, she didn't understand a word I said. She was not an educated woman for that reason. So I don't think she followed a lot of it. All she knew was, she says, you don't hem and haw. That was the sum total of years of radio. Did you like the show, Ma? Well, I got to tell you this. You don't hem and haw like some. There are guys in radio. I listen to them. I don't know how they have such a big audience. In between every statement. I got pneumonia. I don't even go hem and haw. Who are you thinking of, listener out there? Hello, listener. Hello. Do you have that song, Hello Dolly? This is dedicated to the Dalai Lama. I want to hear this one for a minute. The Hello Dolly. Just for a second. You don't have it? Fell by the wayside already?
Dolly, this
there you
is
go.
Lewis.
Dolly, I'm sorry.
It's so nice
it is funny,
to have
isn't
you back where you belong.
The song goes out to the Dalai Lama.
You look and swell, Dolly. I can't tell, Dolly.
I'm not
going to
worship him because he's a holy man. I'm sorry about his people. I don't like holy men. I don't trust them. Particularly the guys with the saffron robes that don't work. They don't do anything. Louis Armstrong with the handkerchief. What was in that handkerchief? There was always an implication. He was sniffing something. Turn it over. Remember when I was a kid, like, the adults were talking. They loved Louis Armstrong, but the handkerchief was an issue. They'd whisper, oh, that handkerchief there with the trumpet. I didn't know what they meant. All right, get out of the room. We're talking about the handkerchief and the trumpet now. What? What's in that handkerchief? I don't know. The adults, they would tell you to leave the room. Those days they could. Today you can call the police and call it child abuse. In my day, if they didn't want you to hear something, they told you to get out of the room. I'd take a walk for a minute. Go walk the dog. Go shovel snow. But it's the summer. I don't care. Go shovel snow. Get out of here. We'll have a conversation in a nice way. But sometimes they got mad. Yeah, adults talked adult stuff. They didn't want you to hear about the handkerchief and the trumpet. That's all. I'm giving an example. It was a different world. You can't do that to kids. They got a complex. They go to the therapist. And they'll make up a story that you did something to them, and the next thing you know, you're in jail. They have all the power. Everyone has power over everybody. Everything's upside down. The Bible predicted this. Ah, I got a live one. Now, here's the lead up to this. By the way, you're listening to the Savage Nation on your local station. If you don't know, this is not an imaginary show. It's like Major League Radio, but it sounds so like nothing you've ever heard that you don't know what you're listening to. It's intriguing, I know. Particularly when you understand that I do float like a butterfly and sting like a bee. Thank you, Muhammad Ali. Cassius Clay, whatever. John, WTNT, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Good evening. I'm glad you're feeling better.
I am. Well, wait, let's not jump to conclusions. But, John, what's on your mind? Tell us which actress you're thinking of who was great, gorgeous, drop-dead beautiful, who's disappeared.
French actress Catherine Deneuve. Haven't seen her in anything in years, but when she was on the screen, she was a goddess.
Do you remember her in the one where she played a bored housewife who, let's say, did tricks on the side? You remember that movie? What was that called? La Belle de Jour. Remember that one?
Yes, absolutely.
That was a stunning movie. It was a very classy movie in the way they treated the subject, by the way. They didn't have to get lewd in order to make their point.
No, and I think that's something that's lost in theater today, where they beat you over the head with things rather than...
Yeah, I really don't want to know that much about people's digestive system, so to speak. You know, I'm not interested in the alimentary canal. You know, I have an imagination. But yeah, where is Catherine Deneuve today, now that you think about it? Is she still living?
As far as I've not heard anything reporting her death, you know, how they normally have the specials on TV and so forth. I think she's just gone into retirement. And
who's that other? It was another beautiful girl whose father was a right-wing talk show host in the 60s who she hated. Who does anyone know who I'm talking about? Blonde girl, really pretty. And she had a real good run in the movies. I haven't seen her in years, since the leg warmer days. Thanks for that call. Who am I talking about? And who was the talk show host? Beautiful girl. Father was a right-wing talk show host in L.A. She would... No, please don't throw it out if you don't know. I'll make a mistake. I'm listening. The callers will know. Someone in L.A. will pick up on it. Do I have an L.A. listener here who knows what I'm talking about? Someone IMDb will know. An IMDb listener will know who I'm talking about. Gorgeous. Almost... Ireland. Is it... No, it's not... Is it Kathy? No. WOR, New York City, Greg. Who do you remember from this, from like the yesteryear, who was a great, beautiful actress who disappeared?
An absolutely gorgeous woman, starred in one of my favorite movies with alongside Steve McQueen. The movie was called The Getaway, about a...
Love that movie. Incredible.
McGraw.
Love Ally McGraw. But remember the shootout up in the hotel? You remember the villain in that movie? I like the guy villain in that movie. He was great. Some tall, like, curly-haired guy. He was great. Unknown. Great villain.
Fantastic movie, and she was just gorgeous. She moved well. She spoke well. She had an air of class, an innocence.
Now, she's still living, isn't she?
To be honest, I'm not sure.
But I think my point is a different one, which is not whether they're alive or dead. When I'm talking about actors, actresses, blah, 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 public figures, who get off the stage while they're still on the top of their game. They don't wait until they're in their decline, until someone says, it's over already, stop, you're ugly, you're old, no one wants to look at this. You know, some of them have the sense to get off the stage. They don't play old women. In other words, let's take Ally McGraw, right? She could still be in the movies playing older women, right, or an old woman, couldn't she? But she isn't. Why did she leave? That's a personal thing, but there's a lot of women like that, I'm saying, were smart enough to leave. Or the issue of Johnny Carson, 16 years or whatever in retirement. He didn't stay on. He could have done, you know, cameos as Johnny Carson. He didn't. I'm not talking about me, whether I should get off the stage, or maybe I am. Who knows? I'm projecting. I'm just projecting out loud of people who stay on, you know, and some who don't, you know, who leave when they quit while they're ahead, in other words. I love this segment. Play Hello, Dolly again for the Tibetans out there.
Hello, Dolly. This is Louis.
Did you ever eat Tibetan food? What is it, like yak?
Nice to have you back where you belong.
What do Tibetans eat?
It's cold.
A cold. cold country. There's no water buffalo up in those mountains. Can't grow very much. Snowballs on rye. Turn it off. I got the worst sandwich in my life. Any six I send out for food. You want to hear the worst? You want to hear the bottom of the barrel? Worst living in California? No, it's a standard. It's like a stereotypically bad joke. Like you can't get a good deli on the West Coast. You can't in San Francisco. Let's start with that. The worst sandwich of my life was Tuesday. I ordered a turkey, plain roasted turkey on rye bread from Max's Deli here. They sent me a turkey sandwich with caraway seed rye. The caraway was so strong it overpowered the container. It came through the styrofoam. I had to throw the bread in the garbage. I got so mad, I ripped the bread through the bread in the garbage, and I had to put it on my own bread. It was over by then. You're not tearing a sandwich apart. It's frustrating. The pickles are bad. Nothing's good. Look, I didn't eat it all my life. That's why I'm still living. If I lived in New York, I would have been dead 20 years ago from the food there. Don't get me wrong. Brisket, a great food. Look what it did for Madeleine Albright. Robert, Las Vegas, Nevada, welcome to the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
The actress was Rebecca De Mornay, and her dad was Wally, who was Sam Yorty's sidekick.
Oh, my God, are you ever right. God, did you hit the nail on the head. Rebecca De Mornay, her father was Wally George. He was a talk show host, right?
Yeah, and he was Sam Yorty's sidekick for years, and then he got his own show, and he was crazier than crazy.
Well, now, she was stunning, and she hasn't been around for a long while, correct?
She hasn't been around for quite a while, but she was absolutely beautiful. But she was always, like you said, kind of embarrassed about her dad.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I don't want to go. I don't want to go there. Hey, let me say, I wish I could send you a gift. I can't, Robert. All I can say is thank you. My website is a little slow right now. We're going through a transition. I can't send any presents. I think when I come back, since you're such loyal listeners, I'm going to entertain you with a great poem called When Pasta Was Spaghetti. I'll be right back.
Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. The realest of radio, the realest of radio. We're talking about different things here on Good Friday. Politics, no politics, whatever. Whatever. The big story is Condoleezza Rice apologizing. Stupid. That's a story? That's a big story. Someone peeked in a passport. Ooh. Suddenly he's a victim now again. Ooh. Passport breach being investigated. What a nonsense. Vatican yesterday was accused of currying favor with China by censoring the Easter reflections for tonight's solemn Good Friday service at the Colosseum that Cardinal Joseph Zen Zekian of Hong Kong wrote at the request of Pope Benedict XVI. That should be happening by now. He probably did it already. I mean, 8 plus 8 hours. It's over already. I missed it. The Easter reflection, I saw on Good Friday. I was in the Colosseum. Why did they do it in the Colosseum? Whatever. I can't comment on that. 1-800-449-8255. Phone number. Sacramento, Sven, you're on the Savage Nation topic. Please go ahead.
Michael, hey, I know you like to treat Teddy nice and everything, you know, But there's a limit to where it's almost too much. There's a saloon in Hollywood where Hollywood celebrities will actually put their animals, and when they put their animals there, it's almost like a daycare per se. But when they put their animals in, these animals they're fed 3 full-course doggy meals, would you say, that are all balanced out and nutritionally, you know.
That's stupid. Dog's not meant to eat like that. A dog is a scavenger. A dog likes stuff that falls out of your hand. It makes them feel like a dog again.
But you know what? You know what?
You make a dog neurotic. What do you mean, 3 meals a day in a world where people are starving? I find that absurd. Like today, I purposely dropped something on the floor to see the dog eat it. He liked it. He was happier. He won't eat food. If I put it in a bowl now, he's bored. If I drop like lasagna on the floor on purpose, he eats it. It's like a dog does that. They walked around the camp originally, for thousands and millions of years, however long since the wolf became domesticated. They ate what you dropped. That was the deal, and they guarded you.
Savage.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Friday on the Savage Nation. I mean, I grew up to this. Pardon me for not seeing the world the way Larry King does. Garlic Man. Some degenerate scum on his show every second. Another degenerate fallen angel. Larry King glorifying the walking anti-Leviticus. Who knows what's better, what's worse? We're degenerating as a nation, falling into the gutter. A leader like this. What a leader. What a leader in the culture wars. My God. With Clinton, we had what went on in the Lincoln bedroom. I can't even repeat on this show with Clinton. All right, turn it off for it. The first day Bush is in power, the first week he has the guy from England with his boyfriend in the Lincoln bedroom. You weren't supposed to notice it, though. It was like, ooh, how do you get in here? Remember that? That was hushed up. So there's no real difference. It's a matter of style, that's all. Who knows who's going to be the next one? You think he's going to really be the leader? Just as long as it's not Obama. I don't want Reverend Wright, inaugurating him with the prayer. Imagine that prayer if he inaugurated Obama. And I say, God, not bless America, but to all of you listening around the world, God, you know what, America? That would be great. Then the liberals will say, well, that's very good. We need to feel that. We need to feel humble. For all the crimes we've committed, that's good to flagellate ourselves across the globe. Yeah, we need to flagellate ourselves. That's why we invented the B-2 bomber, to flagellate ourselves. I like to flatten them instead of flagellating myself. You see these shows on military technology, I could weep. Weapons, like the B-2 bomber, they can't hear it coming, but they can't find bin Laden. How could they not find them? Why? They don't want to find them. That's why they can't find them. They need the boogeyman, the international boogeyman. Every once in a while, he gives us, ooh, he's going to blow us up. Justify another $8 billion gone in missing currency on the way to Iraq. Funny thing happened to the currency on the way to Iraq. It disappeared. Rim shot. Get a rim shot. The guys who use that in radio. I'm going to say something, and you're going to hit the rim shot. Okay? A funny thing happened to the currency on the way to Iraq. It disappeared. Not bad. The timing is off. I don't use phony sound effects. They're terrible when I hear, like, laughter in an audience. The worst thing in talk radio that I can tell is sidekicks. You know it's over already. The minute they have, like, a surrogate, it's over. They can't do it. They can't carry the show on their own. Why listen to them? You know, what do you need a sidekick for? Silence is a better sidekick than most of the women that they have. What, to make them sound good? Yeah, you're great. Oh, yeah, Mr. Lufa, man. I love you. You're great. Oh, hoo-hee. What kind of woman is like that today? Nobody, except a paid sidekick, which is, we have another word for it from Queens. So the kind that Spitzer used, that's the kind of sidekick that is. No woman looks up to a man like that unless they're, like, stupid, worships a man, whatever he says. You can like a guy. You can be in love with him. No one worships a man just because he's a man. Oh, that's wonderful. Brilliant. Great. So here we are on Good Friday together, just me and a few people listening to the Savage Nation. talking about Good Friday, talking about the news of the day. There is no news. Somehow people are on religious holiday day. Why do they make that all day long? State Department, Obama, State Department, Obama. They were trying to get right off the air. They're trying to make him into a victim already. Again, white racism. Till it came out, they did the same thing to Hillary and to, what's his name, Doofus. Is he back from the Middle East yet? He's through doing the yarmulke job? Where is he? Is the great salvation back yet? What's his name? I don't even know his name. I can't remember his name, the guy running on the Republican ticket. Oh, John McCain, sorry. Do we have any Jeremiah Wright? Just to raise up the stakes a little bit and to get the liberals insane. They think it's gone. They're monitoring to see if I'm going to play it. Yes, I will, right till November 8th, till it's over. Now, do you want this man that I'm about to ask for in clip 8 inaugurating Barack Obama? Go ahead, play it, clip 8.
The government gives them the drugs, builds bigger prisons, passes a three-strike law, and then wants us to sing God Bless America? No, no, no. Not God Bless America, God damn America, that's in the Bible for killing innocent people. God damn America for treating our citizens as less than human.
See, that's what most liberals actually believe, because they're stupid. They have no context. They don't understand what real horror is. They didn't grow up in the Soviet Union or in communist China. They didn't live through the mass deaths of Eastern Europe. So they actually believe this rubbish. That's the danger of all of this. And that's why it's good to play it over and over again so that people finally understand what this man is. Same thing. Well, he disagrees with his pastor. Great. But he sat there for 20 years, baptized him. Listen to, disagrees. He won't disengage from him. So we'll keep playing it, just so you don't forget. We're not letting it go through its cycle and ending it. I'm not Larry Kink. I'm not ready to move on, Larry Kink, with the garlic breath. So it's over, huh? Those right wingers stopped playing it, huh? So how do you feel, Senator Obama? Do you feel crucified by what the right wingers got? So how do you feel, Senator? So Larry, how do you feel, Senator Obama? You must have gone through hell. Hey, how do you feel, Senator? I want to play some Rock and Roll Friday. What were we playing? Earth Angel? That's bump and grind music. That's too slow. You know what I'm in the mood for? Maybe Eddie Fisher. He was so corny. Dungaree Doll. Play Dungaree Doll. That's the one.
Dungaree Doll.
I never liked him as a kid. He wasn't like my type of like.
So
couldn't look up to him.
We go around together, together, together.
He always reminded me of like Eddie Cantor. I mixed them up, even though I didn't know Eddie. All right, turn it off. All right, married Elizabeth Taylor. You figure he had something going for him today. But look what happened to her. My God. And see, there's an example I was bringing up before. Actresses who were gorgeous that made you, they were stunned. They took the breath away. And they disappeared at the peak. They're still living, some of them. But they had the sense to leave the stage, the public, right? Some don't know when to quit. Look at Elizabeth Taylor today. You could cry for her with like a transfusion tree. I'm not criticizing that she's sick. Wheezing about AIDS now. And you look back like National Velvet. You could cry how pretty she was. Although I never really thought she was that beautiful. A lot of women in Queens loved her. I don't know. The guys never did. No guy I ever knew was in love with Elizabeth Taylor. The women were crazy about her. Oh, man, look at her purple eyes. That's all I heard from the women. I don't know what they liked about her. Like, I was stunned by her. Like, all right, well, give it so she was pretty. What was that pop I heard in my ISD online? I'm off the air already? No, I'm still on. I got a migraine from it, like bad chicken soup. I forgot what I was talking about. I'm so sensitive to technical breakdowns on my show. I was building up with Elizabeth Taylor, but she should have left. Like about 1930, she should have walked off the stage. However, no, 59, 60, she could still get away with it. She still appears. They wheel her out like her and Michael Jackson. Like little tiny oxygen tanks. It's not funny, but I'm making a bigger point, which is why don't they stop while they're gorgeous? I don't want to see like a person decaying. It's nightmarish enough in your own body. You got to look and see time and gravity, what it does to a human being. I don't want to see it in like stage beauties. So we were talking about others who disappeared. We were talking about Rebecca de Mornay. And then we were talking about Catherine Deneuve. Great movie, like the Belle de Jour. Oh, God, was that great. Stunningly great movie. Who knows who directed that movie? Again, I'm seeing if there's an L.A. listener. I'm pandering like an IMDb person. Does any, you look it up, I know right away, give me an answer, I think you're going to get a prize. Who directed Belle de Jour, I'd like to know. Does anyone know what movie I'm talking about? Where she was a spoiled rich wife of a doctor. She's bored, so she becomes a part-time prostitute. But it was done with no, like, explicit scenes. Louis Buñuel? Not Louis Brunel. Louis Brunel? I never heard of him. Is that Louis Brunel's cousin, Louis Brunel? I loved Louis Buñuel's movies. He did some amazing stage sets. Like, didn't he do Andalusian Fowl? That's Louis Buñuel, I think. Some crazy stuff that was done. Great movies, black and white, mad movies. Oh, but I was trying to tell you I saw a great movie because I was sick. I got distracted. So I watched a lot of movies. I watched the movie with Brad Pitt the other day on TV. They released it. It was too long, 2.5 hours, but it was called Babel. God, the Mexican director is a genius. The director and writer is the same guy who did 21 Grams. I highly recommend it. In terms of its, you have the trailer for Babel? And who's the skinny actress that plays with him? Cate Blanchett. She looks a little like Gwyneth Paltrow. Whatever. She's disappeared. I never thought Gwyneth Paltrow was beautiful. Paltrow. She was creepy. Her politics were worse. She always had this emaciated, like, corpse look. But at least Cate Blanchett can kind of emote. She can get an emotion out of you. She played up the sickness a little too long with the bullet in the neck on the car. The best scenes in that movie, Babel, were the native actors who had never acted before, like the Arabs in the village in Morocco. Unbelievable how they got them. I don't know. The kids and the father. You see how destitute the third world really is. And then the scenes in Mexico were amazing. Amazing in Babel, where she goes across the border to a wedding in Mexico for the day. They do party like that. I mean, the weddings go on for 24 hours. It's not like a white man wedding here in California. You know, like sick 4 hours, then the caterer throws you out. They have a bar mitzvah after you or before you. These guys have a wedding. It goes on forever. The cousins, the brothers, the dancing, and everyone. They drink and they eat. I am used to that because when I was in the islands in Fiji all those years, do you ever go to a Fijian wedding? Do you ever see one of those? They go on for days, never mind overnight. There's a wedding there. They go till all the pigs are knocked off in the woods. Those people know how to party, man. You want to go to a party of the old-fashioned variety, of like the not primitive. The music and the men drinking and going on and the eating. You don't leave. You leave, you get thrown off the. You don't make it back to your bure. I mean, you're going to fall off that. It's an insult you walk out on somebody. You walk in there, you stay there. So I'm drifting a little bit because it's a long week and I want to do the whole 3 hours. I want to prove something to myself. I have no fatigue. I feel great. I want to prove the doctor wrong. I want to prove everybody wrong. I want to once again prove that it's all up to me. It's all willpower. It's all my father argued with me over and over again. That kid got no willpower. The kid got no willpower. I didn't even know what willpower was. I felt like saying, Dad, what do you want from me? What's willpower? I don't know what it was. He wanted me to have willpower. Now I have so much willpower, it hurts. He's been gone so long, he wouldn't know it. Yeah, I know. He's up in heaven looking down. Right, I know. He's waiting for me. I'll let him wait some more. I'm not ready yet. I had a nightmare the other night that, like, when you die, your parents are waiting in heaven to tell you you're no good again. That starts, a whole thing starts all over again. Can you imagine if that's it? Like, the minute you die, there's a transition point, and then immediately you're back in Queens, and your parents are yelling at you, telling you you're no good. You'll never amount to anything. Can you imagine if it's that bad? I heard different views of heaven in my time. One of my best and most favorite view of heaven is, I don't know which author wrote it, but it was so beautiful. He said, heaven is a place where all the pets you've had are waiting for you, and you're their pet. Who wrote that? Does anyone know who said that? It was not Hemingway. It was not Clark Gable. Clark Gable said that I don't pay them to arrive. I pay them to leave. Who was it who said, though, that heaven is where your pets are there waiting for you, and they're running it, and you're their pet? Does anyone know who said? Was that just Steinbeck said that? Steinbeck really had it right, man. That Travels with Charlie, Grapes of Wrath, Lenny with the Mouse. Ooh, did he see the world? He saw the world. He had that face. He had that wiry, like that one, like leathery face. He was like, knew about the Grapes of Wrath and the Okies. I'll be right back. Savage.
Eddie, my love.
Rock and Roll Friday on the Savage Nation with little Eddie, My Love.
Don't make me wait too long.
It is 26 minutes after the hour. You're listening to the Savage Nation. Said that already. I could do about 8 hours of radio right now. My strength has come back. Thank you. Thank you. All right, knock it off already. New Hampshire, Dennis, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Thank you for taking my call. I, years ago, had a personal experience of being a ski instructor in Aspen, Colorado, and one of my students was one of the most people I'd ever met in my life. Her name was Eva Marie Saint.
Oh, she was beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. So what was that experience like?
It was absolutely, she was one of the most gracious people I'd ever met in my life.
And, some of them really are. They don't just actually put it on. I mean, they really are. She appeared, I think her first big screen break was on the waterfront with Brando, right?
I have a little story that she told me about that. And if you'd let me tell you, I will. I'd be happy to. But they were filming in New York, and, of course, most of the time it was at night, and it was dark, and it was seedy, and it was whatever. But anyway, they took a break in the filming, and she told me that the director, whomever, gave them a weekend off and said, just go play, go do whatever. Well, she went skiing at Mont Tremblant, Canada, and it was a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful sunny weekend. And she arrived back in New York with this fabulous suntan, which made it increasingly very, very difficult for her to film in the picture because it was supposed to be at night. Everybody had sort of this ashen.
So what'd he do? We only got 40 seconds in this segment.
I don't know. I guess they
yeah, I mean, she changed color basically between Friday and Monday. I could imagine that would have been. But that's an interesting point of departure, which is the way celebrities treat others and the graciousness of that era compared to the harlotry of this era and the nastiness of this era. Of this crop of starlets, the difference, the differential, and how that has evolved, you know, from people who with intervention and drugs and being prostitutes. Why? Why do they think that's attractive? Anyway, whatever. I'll be back to take politics calls, political calls.
Savage.
Great song, great song, great memory. But it has no meaning today. People don't even dance with each other. They dance at each other. Do they hold each other anymore? I don't even know if they're allowed to hold. They fornicate. They make believe like not dancing. Then they just go in the back. All right, look at the latest headline. Second man charged in New Jersey missing mom case. Midwest rivers rise. Snow in Chicago. Don't tell that to Al Gore. Snow in Chicago. They're still lecturing about global warming. It's unbelievable. The reality doesn't break through to the liberal mind. They make up their mind and that's it. It's their doxy, like a church. That's what the word doxy means. It's like a rigid belief system. Don't tell them it's snowing in Chicago. They're snow, warm. Flowers are coming up early because of global warming. 4 Tennessee cavers found safe after search. Okay, what'd they go in the cave for? Mexican police chief requests U.S. asylum. That's a novelty. Conviction in San Diego. Dismemberment, torture, death shocks Illinois town. Feds to appeal ruling an APAC case. New York sex scandals have couples talking. All-you-can-eat seat, heartburn included. Look at the garbage stories. Pilot in SF oil spill pleads not guilty. The drunk hit the bridge. You know where he was? Came up from like the bilge. Because the boat was into the bridge already. He didn't do anything wrong. Remember that, like, Exxon Valdez, the guy was a drunk. It's a rough job steering one of those honeys. Can you imagine? I mean, I drive a 19,000-ton boat. Believe me, you don't take your eye off the wheel. I can't imagine the pressure on these guys. They should never, ever be allowed to like, have alcohol on the boat, even. When you think about it. Like floating atomic bomb if it hits the wrong thing. You realize if you actually add up the amount of energy in the oil on a tanker, the actual energy on an oil tanker, if it was like ignited, it'd be like a nuclear bomb in terms of the actual energy. It's frightening to think about it. Maybe they ought to use affirmative action and reach out to make it look more like America on the ship. They can hire some people through care to become like workers on the ship, like in order to satisfy the U.S. government, the FBI. They can ask care if they can bring in some people from Qatar or from Pakistan to work on the freighter, on the oil tanker, so that they could feel good in their brochures, in their corporate brochures. All right, we're going to do some other stuff now. Go back to Wall Street, the crooks of Wall Street. You think I forgot about them already? They bail out their friends. Now they want to sucker punch you even further. Mike, WOR, you haven't forgotten the story of Goldman Sachs and Bear Stearns. Mike, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Yeah, Mike, you often warned your listeners about Goldman Sachs, and it's absolutely true. Here in New Jersey, Goldman Sachs is trying to take over the state. The governor, John Corzine, is the former head of Goldman Sachs. His chief of staff, Brad Abelow, former partner of his at Goldman Sachs, they have a plan right now in New Jersey to sell our toll roads for 100 years to the guys on Wall Street. The state of New Jersey would get some money up front, but Wall Street would collect $200 to $300 billion over the next 100 years.
All right, and who would be running the toll roads? Which government in the Middle East?
Exactly, Mike. What they're going to do is set up a private company. John Corzine from Goldman Sachs is going to appoint all of the members of this board, and they are going to suck the tolls out of the people of New Jersey.
Mike, Goldman Sachs is like the Grim Reaper of the American landscape. They would sell their mother's oxygen tank if they could.
Absolutely, Mike. And what's going to happen in New Jersey, we're going to see tolls go up 800%, and the Goldman Sachs guys on Wall Street are going to make all of the profit. And the governor, in my opinion...
But, Mike, listen, Mike, I understand it. These are pirates. These are not responsible corporate leaders. They're not responsible politicians anymore. They are pirates. We understand this. But what are the people in New Jersey going to do? Say yes to it because they just want the immediate return?
The governor started town hall meetings, but the response from the people was so negative. Now 75% of the people in New Jersey are against this. The governor called off his toll meetings, trying to...
Oh, yeah, he couldn't bamboozle the people, huh? Even this was too much for the people in New Jersey.
Drop dead. We're not going to buy it. And as a result, he's had to back off. But what he's done now, he's going to punish the people of New Jersey because he's introduced a draconian budget with massive cuts in the areas of the state where the people opposed him the most.
So the man is a monster. He's a dictator. I'm surprised that he came from Goldman Sachs to make more money for his buddies that he left behind at Wall Street. I'm just shocked. As far as I'm concerned, this is worse than insider trading. It's criminality. The government should take him out in an orange jumpsuit and cuffs if we had a legitimate government. But we don't have a legitimate government. Go right to the Treasury Department. They're Goldman Sachs. Everywhere you turn, Goldman this, Goldman that, Goldman that, Goldman this. They're running the world. That's a busted out the banks. They're running the world. What's Bush going to stop them? He's fiddling while Rome burns.
Well, if you look at who all of our elected leaders are and where they're coming from, they are coming from Goldman Sachs of the world. They come into politics with hundreds of millions of dollars in their pocket. John Corzine bought his way into the U.S. Senate. He bought his way into the governor's mansion with the money he got from Goldman Sachs, and now he's returning the favor to his buddies on Wall Street. That's what's going on. They're selling our country out. They're selling us all out. They're debasing our currency, Mike, and we have to stop them.
Well, I wish I had some ability to stop them, but apparently the people in New Jersey are not that gullible. You know, maybe Abe Lincoln's adage, you can fool some of the people some of the time and some of the people all the time, but you can't fool all of the people all of the time. Maybe Mr. Corzine has come to understand not everyone's the big schmuck he thinks they are. You know, they all look down at everybody and spit on them like they're nothing. Thanks for the call. There it is. Play Earth Angel for me. I want to hear Earth Angel. I'm getting a sore throat now from yelling. Got a migraine and a sore throat. The sugar wore off. I'm about to go into my depression now. I can't take it anymore, these crooks. Rotten crooks. Wrong people are in prison. About indicting the wrong man. I turn it off. I'm not even in the mood for this now. Because it's the end of the day now. I feel it coming. I feel like Frankenstein, like going through a change, because the show's going to be over, and then I'm going to be like facing the eternity of the emptiness of no radio. I have only a couple of good hours a day in my life. Radio. The rest is like horrible. This is the best time of the day because I get to deal with reality. The audience needs me. I need them. I mean, it's a great symbiosis here. I know I make the progressives insane. I mean, what could be better? Janet, Las Vegas, Nevada, welcome to the Savage Nation.
The Savage? I'd like yes. to know, have Scangilli, has he anything to say about Obama's speech?
What John Scangilli would say about Obama's speech? Well, I think he would have something to say about it, but he can't say it on this radio show. He has a few things to say about it. He'd say it probably in the back of an Italian restaurant on Mulberry Street.
Oh, we'd like to hear it.
Well, I could give you a private show. I can't do it publicly, what Scangilli would have to say about Obama. What a faker this guy is. What a fraud this guy is from top to bottom. They catch him with this hateful preacher with hate speech, and right away he's the victim all of a sudden because they looked at his passport. Don't you love that?
Yeah, I know. I have.
All right, that's the story. Chicago, AJ, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
I believe that Obama's speech changed everybody's view on his politics, and I believe I had a lot of doubts in him before the speech. But I believe
All right. Well, they gave you another script to read? Anything else? You can't even read the script properly. So you look, it's a free country. If you like Obama, vote for him. I think he's a phony. I think he's a fraud through and through.
A fraud. He explained everything.
Come on. He's playing the poor black kid. He went to Punahou High School in Hawaii on a scholarship. What are you coming on with that? He's the poor black kid. Where'd they come up with this garbage from?
What are you talking about? He grew up in Hawaii. He worked very hard. He had it well.
Talk to me, AJ, do you know what Punahou High School is? Have you ever heard of it?
My dad was born in Hawaii. I don't know.
I didn't ask you where your dad was born or what he ate for dinner. Punahou High School is reserved for rich kids. Obama went to a rich kid high school. Stop with the rags to riches story. He's a spoiled brat, and he acts like it. He's the most arrogant politician of all of them. I don't even want to talk about him. He's a waste of time. You know what I want to do now? I've got to clean this out a little bit. Oh, no, here's a good caller. What are you, McCain? Where is McCain? He's like disappeared. John who? Put on the yarmulke and never saw him again. Adam, KNEW, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Michael, hey, you know what? I was thinking the other day, it's been a while since you've called McCain the Manchurian candidate.
I don't think he's the Manchurian candidate. I think he's like John Doofus. But listen, I'll choose him over Obama or Hillary anyway, because if it's got to be Bush 3, it's better than what's coming beyond Bush 3. For as bad as it's been, it'll be a lot worse with those two.
Well, especially when Obama's a fake candidate, like you said in the past, it's coming to pass. You're a prophet.
Well, I don't know, fake. I don't think he's that fake anymore. I actually start to think there's a lot more behind him than fake. I think he's a dangerous demagogue who's disguising himself as a nice guy. If you listen to his preacher, you know what's inside Obama's head. He didn't disavow himself from it. He said he doesn't like it, but he can't detach from him. Okay? Well, you know what I got to do to clean this up here on a Friday? Years ago, I was in an airplane. I don't even know when it was. 85, 86, I was in a plane going to somewhere in Colorado when we got caught in a storm. In those days, you could talk to like people on a plane without them taping your hands to a chair and calling you a nuisance. So I got on the plane. I upgraded first class. Big deal what first class was then and today. Nothing. And next to me was a very distinguished-looking Chinese lady. So naturally, you want to talk to someone. It's a long flight. So I tried to talk to her. She wasn't interested, so I left her alone. I said a few nice words. Blah, blah, blah. No, okay, fine. I didn't say another word. So I ordered a couple of drinks, then a few more drinks. I was mumbling to writing in my journal. I was a corporate consultant at the time. About an hour into the flight, we hit a storm. And I mean a real beauty. I'm talking like 1940s movie level. Boom, flash. The plane looked like it would go down. So what I did was, and in those days, they complied with it. I said, can I get, give me four more of those little bottles, okay, before you sit down, honey. She brought me the bottles. I figured I'd drink my way to eternity. What was I going to do about it? I wasn't flying the plane. And I'm pouring myself a drink. All of a sudden, this Chinese lady who wouldn't talk to me reaches over and touches my arm and starts babbling on like she was scared to death. So we had a great conversation. It turns out that she was the CEO of a major American corporation, which I will not mention. But more interestingly, once she heard that I was in the herbal vitamin world, she told me that her grandfather was one of the great Chinese healers. So I was very interested. Boom, bang, plane bouncing. She had a drink and we're talking, rattled, bang, boom. So she says, I told her I was interested in phrenology, you know, hand reading. She says, well, I'll read your hand. So she looks at my hand. She says things to me that I was stunned by. I was really stunned. I was struggling at the time. She says, you're going to be a very wealthy man and a very famous man. I couldn't believe her. I said, how do you know that? Well, it's in your palm, your finger. And then she told me other things, which I'm not going to repeat here, that turned out to be true. I will never forget it. But after that, or before it, I had written a poem called When Pasta Was Spaghetti, which has nothing to do with this story, but play it right now. It was written on that plane in that storm.
The hairy forearms of New York serve you your coffee with a turning gesture, an offering that says drink, eat, enjoy. The wiry Italian in Vincent's clam bar, the one behind the greased over register, the young kid connected who receives his deference from the spaghetti cook older than his gangster father, the spaghetti cook who looks like an old-fashioned doctor from the Bronx with clipped mustache. He actually pulls some noodles out of the pot and eats them as they cook, looking to the grimy ceiling for his tender answer. Well, they used to call it spaghetti. Now it's pasta at $10 a plate. The smoky windows of Romeo's Spaghetti now offers radios and knickknacks. It was 50 cents a plate then, in neon letters that you couldn't miss, even through a fogged-over window on a cold winter's eve. There was life. Marinara sauce that smacked to the sea. Noodles as long as your young arm. Meatballs as fluffy as your dream of them. Bread on the table you'd eat against your parents' admonitions that the meal was coming, the meal was coming. And men, some burly with black hairy forearms whose smiles scared you, and little skinny guys with the look of murder on their faces, and people who slurped their spaghetti straight to their mouths from the plate, one motion like Chinese shoveling rice at mouth with clicking sticks. That was gusto before it became a beer ad. That was taste before it became a synonym for fashion. That was spaghetti before it became pasta.
Yeah, now what you should play is the Godfather dance music right now. That would have been a nice, nice surprise. I can't read my mind. You got to admit, it's a great American poem. Nobody could touch that one. Imagine a leprechaun trying to write a poem about corned beef and cabbage. Never. A wall banger about a hammer. A rush about a golf club. That was a great poem, I got to tell you, looking back. Look what I can't do that anymore. No, I was more inspired. At 1985, I wrote that. But I didn't. That was on my radio show 10 years ago, more than that. Hear that? Did anyone hear that song years ago? I mean, that poem? Tim, KFMB Country, San Diego. Welcome. What's on your mind, sir?
Mike, you know I heard it as one of your charter listeners, but yeah, I remember it all. I remember it all. Heard almost every show. Anyway, I'm a little bit concerned about your mood, Mike.
Why?
I don't know. It bothers me when you get into a funk, especially when you started the show on such an upbeat. Is it the news?
You mean why I went from a high to a low now, 3 hours later?
Yeah, is it metabolic or news-related?
A, I have pneumonia. B, I'm on my antibiotics. C, the doctor said don't work for a month. And D, I figured I'd do it anyway. Because I don't know, maybe it's metabolic. You know, I don't care if I collapse after the show. The show must go on, and the show is everything. I live for this, Tim. I live for my audience. You've been listening. I know your voice since I was a single, you know, host on a local station here in San Francisco.
That's right.
If you're still listening, I'm still doing okay.
Yeah. By the way,
don't you think my shows are still good?
Oh, yeah, I love your show, Mike. And not only that, I'm a proselytizer, a savage proselyte.
Well, look, Tim, I don't want to blow my own horn, but let me tell you something. I listen to the news. I listen to shows once in a while. I'm not going to sit here and talk about the news when the news is so boring. And I see these lemmings in the media writing about State Department, passport. Oh, and it's bad if you run the Obama tape. You can't run it anymore. What, are you kidding me? So what I'm going to do here is which is, you know, run all over the map with the various things. But what I'm hoping is my audience will come with me.
Absolutely. You're the only guy that made that very clear connection that Obama was looking bad in the news, so they dug up some files on him. You know, they
bingo! His own people, in order to make him into the big victim. I'll be right back.
Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. Don't worry about me so much. It is what it is. is an email from a friend of mine. Mike, I'm listening and getting worried that you're working too hard today. Pneumonia is serious, as you well know. Driving yourself to a car wash and then doing a full 3 hours, I get exhausted even thinking about it. That was only the half of it. I didn't tell you about watering the fruit trees on the hill. I have a little orchard somewhere, a hidden orchard. Oh, it's so beautiful to go up there. And the cherry trees are in bloom. I mean, the real bearing cherries. I got apricots. I got pears, peaches, apples. And all the flowers were in bloom over the last week. There's something, you want a religious experience, go see a fruit tree in bloom. When you realize that every flower becomes a fruit, then you'll know what God is. If you can't find it, let's say, in a book, try to find it through nature. Maybe the nature will bring you back to the book and words. If you can't find it, words, find it through nature. You know what I mean? Every time I hear a newborn baby cry, a touch of leaves, I see the sky, then I know why I believe. Remember that great song? Yeah, well, I have my ways of being a man of the earth, and that is be a man of the earth. It'll always bring you back to reality. You are of the earth, and you return to the earth. Ashes to ashes and dust to dust. But in the interim, there's quite a long life, and you may as well learn how to enjoy some of it. And all I can tell you is that when you don't feel good, go and look at a fruit tree in the sun when it's in bloom, and you'll get a good feeling of what earth is all about and what you're all about. And then you'll flower inside yourself. So not everything has to be done according to the rule book about what you do when you're not feeling good. You know, there's many different ways to skin the cat. Getting a car wash isn't such a bad idea either. I got a haircut the other day. I felt better. You know, you got to do certain things to make yourself feel better. Oh, now I'm going to do it like my way to make you think. If not himself, I should sing along now, really make a moron of myself. When pasta with spaghetti was my favorite part of it. Or the Dalai Lama. Hello, Dolly. I thought that was funny. All right, everybody. Pray for me if you wish. Light a candle if you're a Catholic. And with God's will and your listenership, not only shall I return, but Goldman Sachs will get out of America. They're going to move to Dubai and go sell Emmett Toll Road.